answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, it's better to be talking than fighting, but obviously President Trump holds all the cards, coming from a position of strength with the world's strongest military and the brave men and women that serve in it. And so, you know, President Trump can get the deal that he knows is in the best interest of the American people, ensuring that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon, making sure the Strait of Hormuz is open and toll-free, and making sure that these Iranian proxies no longer cause chaos and violence across the Middle East. And so, you know, I think President Trump is a deal maker, he's a negotiator, and most importantly, he wants peace. But he knows that making peace, you come from a position of strength, and that's where he stands right now.
That is exactly what he's doing, and we wish him the best as he moves forward. Yes, there are the naysayers out there that saying Trump is not accomplishing anything. They continue to fire back and forth at each other, but they're still talking at this point. It could well reach a point where basically we're done talking. All you do is blather, 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 and you're not doing anything. It is the Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope attack by Iran. And they keep, according to some sources inside Iran, reportedly saying it, that, we're working on it. We're getting closer, but there's some things, like they were going to allow the International Atomic Energy Commission inspection, UN inspectors, to go in and look around their country. Now they're saying they're not going to. Well, I never expected them to anyway. And, of course, that has to go back on the table for more discussions. But as you were listening to our U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Matt Whitaker, President Trump holds all the cards. And he has the Middle East with him. See, Iran, in trying to say, well, we're going to continue to control the strait, we're going to impose fines and tolls, they thought their neighboring country just across the strait, Oman, would be with them. And there was uncertainty there for a while, but now Oman has made it clear, no, we're not going to participate in restricting ships coming and going by placing tolls and tariffs on them. And you know why? Because Russia and even China said, you cannot do that. So where are they going to get their support? If we isolate Oman, as we've done with Iran, they can see what's happened. They do not want to be in that position. And they know damn well Trump will enforce it. And all the other Middle East countries are all in favor of what Trump is doing to keep the strait open. And, of course, they do not want Iran to have a nuclear weapon in their backyard. It isn't just Israel concerned about their life. And again, keep in mind the missiles they have been firing into U.S. bases and anything near our bases in neighboring Middle East countries, Bahrain, Syria, they just continue to fire into them, and Iraq. They don't care who they hit or what they hit. They're just trying to make it clear that, I said Iraq, they're trying to make it clear that Iran will make a decision that could affect life and death at an instant. You do not want them to have a nuclear weapon. Welcome to hour number two, Larry Connors USA, June 30, 2026. We're here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 for you. And when we're on the air, we are streaming video. You can watch the program, even as I'm speaking. You can go right now to Larry Connors USA Rumble, Facebook, News Talk STL Rumble, Facebook, or Twitter. And if you miss anything, the audio or the video, they go up as podcasts later. And I see where a lot of people watch later or listen later. We thank you for that. You get that at News Talk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA Facebook, any podcast form you want to go to. I just ask one thing of you, please. If you watch or listen another time, share it with someone you know, a friend, a family relative, maybe even an enemy. See if we can enlighten them, because With Larry Connors USA, you're always going to get news, analysis, commentary, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have as we began that hour. That's my promise, my guarantee to you. Later, my guest is going to talk about what he considers the greatest threat to our nation. It is not Russia, China, North Korea, and not really even Iran at this point. It's inside our borders. It's inside the so-called Democrat Party. He will warn you that what they're doing will destroy our nation from inside. And I think he's right. All right, back to a big story today. Obviously, the High Court issuing its ruling on birthright citizenship.
We have another decision, and it's a big one. It has to do with birthright citizenship. It was an executive order that President Trump, on day one of his second term in January 2025, signed the executive order. It was immediately challenged. And now we can tell you that the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled against President Trump's order to limit birthright citizenship.
Chief Justice wrote this opinion. Justices Sotomayor, Kagan, Barrett, and Jackson joined. Jackson has a concurring opinion in which Sotomayor joins. Justice Kavanaugh files an opinion concurring in the judgment and dissenting in part. The dissent comes from Justice Thomas. He is joined by Gorsuch, Alito, and then Justice Gorsuch apparently has his own dissenting opinion. So it is what we expected after the arguments here, and it looks like a bit of a split, but enough of a plurality coming together to say that the executive order that the president issued very quickly upon taking office is no good, and that if people are here, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, includes people who are here illegally. The writing for the majority, Chief Justice Roberts says this: citizenship then and now was the right to have rights to freely participate in our political community. Talking about the 14th Amendment, the framers of the 14th Amendment extended that promise to every freeborn person in this land. That's a quote, and it looks like it's a quote back to some of the legislative debate about this in Congress. He says we keep that promise today.
We keep that promise today, but for many, you are totally misinterpreting what the intent was for the 14th Amendment. Ahead in the last hour, Hans von Spakovsky. He's currently with the American Freedom Foundation, but at the time, as you often have heard him speaking on behalf of the Heritage Foundation, Heritage Institution. Hans has always been a great source when it comes to dealing with understanding the Constitution. And if you missed that interview, I strongly advise you to call it up. Take a look at it later as a podcast. Hans von Spakovsky, Senior Legal Counsel, Advancing American Freedom, and he says the court failed all the way around, and in fact pointing out the fact that Justice Amy Coney Barrett voted with the liberals and Justice Roberts just proves that they are not really looking at the Constitution. And I'm looking at some response from conservatives referenced Barrett, not just on that decision, but the Election Day decision that was made the other day, where basically she authored the majority opinion ruling in favor of a Mississippi law allowing mail-in ballots to be counted in elections even after received after Election Day. At what point is it over? Come on. You do know that if you're filing your IRS tax statement, even if you're filing for an extension, it has to be postmarked April 15th. Unless it occurs on a holiday or weekend, then you get an extra day or two of grace. But that is the date, April 15th. You can't send it in May 15th and say, here it is, and you'd be good with the government. That would not fly. So why are we allowing this to happen? It's the thing that the left wants to push so they can get more and more illegal voting in. Missouri Republican Senator Schmidt posted yesterday talking about how Barrett had joined the 5-4 ruling, stating that Election Day, you can date it anytime you want and send it in later. He said it, and I'm quoting Senator Schmidt, as he posted on X, a shockingly wrong opinion. Justice Barrett joins with the liberal justices to hold that federal election law does not preempt states who allow late mail-in ballots to be counted. Terrible for election integrity. Another reason we must pass the Save America Act. And he adds, or another conservative author states, Barrett is the biggest conservative judicial disaster since Souter. And adds, the worst part is she'll be there pushing leftist policies for another 40 years. All right, you don't like that ruling and don't like the ruling today by the court saying if you're born here, you have an automatic citizenship, and I don't like either one of them. And according to Hans Pakoski, they did not actually watch and look at the Constitution as originally written. Either way, it's done for now. But Jonathan Turley, Fox News analyst, George Washington law professor, says here's the next step for a possible remedy.
What is left here is a decision for the country as to whether it wants to examine a constitutional amendment. Some countries that have had birthright citizenship got rid of it because many of us believe it's an incredibly ill-considered policy. We can make that decision as well, but we're going to have that debate, and we're going to have to agree. We really haven't had a national debate on this. This has largely been contained within the court system. And it may be time for us as a country to decide how we define citizenship.
Now, if they're going to go through an amendment, which he's talking about, that's what you'd have to do is go back and amend the Constitution. You need a congressional vote to approve the proposal for it. 2/3 supermajority vote in the House and the Senate. With today's politics, how are you going to get that to happen? The Constitutional Convention is another option, called for by 2/3, 34 of our state legislatures. That's never been used, been talked about, been pushed around for the last several years. I remember interviewing some of those, pushing it maybe 10 plus years ago. And then if you get through the Congress, the amendment still has to be ratified by the states. There are two ways Congress can have that done. 3/4 of the state legislatures, 38, would have to vote to approve the amendment. Or they could have state conventions, and again, 38 of those states approve it via a specially elected ratifying convention. That has been used once for the 21st Amendment. But with political turmoil we have nowadays, how can you get any of those to work moving forward? In fact, the Democrat Party, as we know it now, even as Democrats know it, I don't think it's going to exist in the near future. Certainly not based on how leftists are embracing socialist communists, even if they're doing it in fear.
Our colleagues over at KFOW found that one of the candidates who won in New York last week, Daria Lisa Avila Chevalier, she's running in New York 13, I believe. Yeah. She repeated sympathetic references to communism, Marxist ideology, Soviet figures like Vladimir Lenin. Do you believe that complicates the argument in favor of these candidates who are Democratic Socialists?
I think Daria Lisa Avila Chevalier ran a campaign that convinced the voters of her district that she would stand up and fight for them. Whatever labels you want to attach to it, whatever she said, I believe that we've got to understand that big tent means big tent, and voters have to be respected. And so are there going to be disagreements about language she may have used? And I'm not sure when that language was used. The campaign that I saw was very much about what working people want.
Well, that is Yahya Paul of Washington State basically trying to give a pass to Chevalier because she does not want to get on her target list. But Chevalier has done things in the past where she makes it clear that she's pro-Palestinian. She is a pro-Palestinian professor to begin with. Doctoral student, I should point out. I don't think she's actually a professor at this point. But the 32-year-old has made it clear that she is all about eliminating Jews if she can. We know many on the left buy into that. But how deep do they want to go with it? She also had social media posts that she's tried to wipe out since, where she called out Kamala Harris and even Joe Biden. And you know what her answer is to that? Well, I regret what I stated back then about them. I have matured. And many say, no, you're just reshaping yourself. That's the way chameleons do. And a snake sheds its skin, but it's still a snake. And yet Yahya Paul of Washington State still trying to, how do we embrace this?
I think we're always told as progressives that we're a big tent party, that there has to be room for people who don't agree with progressives 100% of the time. That's got to be true the other way as well. If we are a big tent party, we have to have both sides of the big tent included. And I think there are going to be issues where we don't agree 100% of the time. But I think what Leader Jeffries said is right. We are focused on making life better for the American people. And Democratic voters across the country are choosing people they think will stand up and fight for working people.
Yeah, and Jeffries has to acknowledge that if I don't say things like that, I could be targeted. So is the same Cory Booker. So is the same for New York Democrat Senator Gillibrand.
New York had a very strong change election. There was a huge interest in new candidates, younger candidates in some instances, the next generation of candidates. And so there was several instances where incumbents lost to challengers because of that trend. And that trend is a very good trend for nationwide elections because it shows how deep the interest in change is. And how fired up new voters are, younger voters are, different demographics of voters.
In other words, younger stupid voters, really. Those that just follow the party line. And it is not good news for our nation. And my next guest is going to get into that issue. Todd Sheets, known for politics, economics, and well-being, has his newsletter on Wealth and Progress. He says the real threat to our nation is what we're seeing happen inside the Democrat Party and when it breaks across the face of our nation. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoon's height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gazoon's height is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. Maguire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, Maguire is a household name because Maguire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend Maguire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. MaguireMoving.com. John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Bill to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF, John Beal. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent's Jewelers. .com. Vincent'sJewelers.com.
This is News Talk STL.
There's 1,000 miles in 18 hours. I got a double drive down southbound 35. I got the hammer down, Detroit made. 525 pushing my ass right down that line. And that smell of burning diesel fuel just tells me that I'm back out on.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. My guest is has a newsletter out. I encourage you to subscribe free of charge. It's on Substack. On Wealth and Progress, also available YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. And he has a book, 2008, What Really Happened. I'm going to have him back on for another date to discuss that book regarding the disaster the nation went through in 2008 and since. Todd Sheets, welcome aboard, sir.
Larry, it's great to be with you today.
Well, I'm looking at a piece you did post on Wealth and Progress, your Substack free article. And I want to pick out one line, and let's start with that and go from there. And that is, you say, the present danger in America today, and I assume you mean facing America, not just inside America, is not China, Russia, or Iran, but rather what has become the full-fledged socialist takeover of the Democrat Party. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, well, I think that, that's very clear at this point. It's been made even more clear by what happened in New York here recently, where Mamdani backed these three Democratic socialist / communist candidates, all of whom won over more moderate Democrats. And I think what we're seeing is kind of the evolution of a 60-year process where the young radicals who protested back in the 1960s did some good things for the nation at that point in time on civil rights, women's rights, some other areas.
Right.
But over time, they became gradually more and more left-wing. Their agenda moved from making America a better version of itself to overthrowing America and trying to turn it into something entirely different. And I think we're now seeing, that faction of the Democratic Party at its strongest, most outwardly forcing its agenda on the country that we've seen. They've been kind of operating in the shadows for many years, building up these ideas of colonialism, exploitation, supremacy in the school systems as a justification for the takeover and the overthrow that they're trying to enact here. But now we're seeing where this is out of the shadows, and they're right out in the open, and they're proud of it.
And they are, and yet they're still trying to hide it. In fact, that New York Socialist Congressional candidate, Chevalier, and they call themselves Democrat Socialists. They're not just Democrats. They're Democrat Socialists. She had hyped up communism, Marxism, Soviet figures on her social media, but now she's deleted a lot of them because maybe that would be a step too far if we want to bring more along with us, at least in the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, at least in the beginning. There's a part of the party that understands the vast majority of America does not want to align with this kind of agenda. But, that part of the party is losing the argument within the Democratic Party to these more hardliners like Mamdani and the others. And I think that's what we're dealing with right now. You know, it's getting to a point where the hardliners, you know, are taking over and winning. They're the energy within the party. But this isn't something new. I think that's one of the important things we need to keep in mind. There are people in the Democratic Party trying to convince us that this is a small faction,
yes,
that doesn't have that much influence nationwide. And there's maybe truth in that to the extent as who's been elected. But if you look at where the heart and soul and the intellectual core of the Democratic Party is and has been for the last 60 years, it's this radical left that first took over the academic institutions and then the traditional media, and then slowly the Democratic Party. And that's what's driving the agenda. Did the same thing under Biden, even though they tried to convince everybody that, you know, this was a middle of the road kind of administration.
Right.
It was Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders pulling the lever. So this isn't something new. And if you look at the heart and soul of the party, it is not something small and isolated. It's the core of the party.
And they're also trying to say, they're looking for ways to embrace it. Washington State Congresswoman Yahya Paul, we are a big tent party. We want to embrace all of this. New York Democrat Senator Gillibrand says it's good to have some kind of differing opinions inside the party. Hakeem Jeffries, Cory Booker all saying, well, let's kind of embrace it. They are embracing out of fear because they know they're going to be targeted. They're soon not going to be part of the Democrat socialist agenda. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, it's good to have other ideas as long as the horrible ideas don't take over. And that's what we're seeing now. This is not different from what we saw with Fidel Castro back in the early 1960s. Everybody in Cuba at that time was convinced he had good ideas of how to move the country forward in a more beneficial way, in a way that would help the working class. And here they are now, 60 years later, 90 miles south of our southern border, and the country's in absolute chaos. And so, you know, we don't want those kind of ideas can be expressed. That's fine. We're not trying to shut down their right to speech, but we don't want them taking hold and becoming the driving central force behind what's governing this country. And that's why Republicans and Democrats, yep, who want to fight back need to stay motivated to make sure this remains a small and isolated part of what's happened in the Democratic Party on the political level.
But again, New York Democrat Senator Gillibrand says this is what we need all across the nation. I don't think she believes that. I really don't. I think she's just trying to protect herself, put some buffers up around her so she won't be attacked by Democrat socialists, because there will be more coming.
Well, and I think she also knows, and you alluded to this, that, you know, throughout history, whether it's the communists, the democratic socialists, the socialists, whomever, they are ruthless in their pursuit of power. You know, they will go after anybody and everybody, including people within their own party, if they think that they're blocking their agenda to enact this radical overthrow of what America is all about and to send us in a completely new direction. And I think there's the people, you know, that are further towards the center in the Democratic Party, they're afraid to say anything. This would be Clinton, Obama, all those people.
Yeah,
I think they're all in that category.
I mean, and a JFK would not be, he would be toxic anywhere near this. And Obama is getting to that point. They don't want to be associated with that kind. And you point out in your Substack article about how, and you discussed a moment ago, how we saw the revolution of young people in the 60s and a lot of the Vietnam War, Civil Rights Acts, all of this had legitimacy and it improved the nation, had a value to it. But as you point out, the views expressed by Dr. King dealing with free speech and a new nation and not recognizing color as an issue for declaring how good or bad you might be, you're pointing out that this new radical version basically wants to just cancel and wipe out the other side.
Yeah, if we go back to the 1960s and we look at the I Have a Dream speech of Dr. King, we don't hear somebody saying we need to overthrow America and take its founding ideals and put them in the trash can and create a completely different country. What we hear is somebody saying, We were founded on brilliant ideals. The only problem was they weren't extended to all Americans. And our job now in the 1960s is to fight and push for those ideals to be extended to everybody within the system. That is a unifying message, and it's one at its core that is right. That's why I think, you know, they built up so much of a, you know, moral case for their argument at that point in time. But then what we've had happen is, you know, over the last 20 years or so, they moved beyond that agenda, and they moved into an agenda which is, instead of fighting for free speech rights, we're fighting to cancel your right to speech if you disagree with us. Instead of fighting for equality of opportunity, regardless of your race, and based entirely on the individual content of your character, to use Dr. King's words, we're going to use political privilege to hand out political benefits based on your race.
Now,
you know, nothing shows how far the party's moved better than that swing right there.
In our last 20, 30 seconds, we look at AOC. She came on the scene as a poster child. And Mondami came on as the latest poster child. Now Chevalier and the others like her are coming on as still a new and brander new poster children. What's the next step in the last 20 seconds?
Well, I think the next step for them is these people are going to drive the party. This is where the energy within the party is coming from. It's something that is creating excitement within their base. They're going to push that agenda until they are defeated so soundly, so many times at the polls, that the Democratic Party realizes we've got to make these people go away and go back to what we were like in the 60s and probably up through the 90s to some extent.
All right. Todd Sheets, again, check out On Wealth and Progress, available free on Substack, also on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple. Todd, we will have you back in numerous subjects, and definitely your book, 2008, What Really Happened During That Time. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. It was great to be with you today, Larry.
You bet, Todd. Chevalier had put out on some of her previous social media before they try to wipe it out, talking about wiping her dirty hands on the American flag instead of reaching for a napkin. But it gets worse. Coming up, some of the Islamists in this nation preaching that child pedophilia is better if you're not praying to God, Allah. I point it that way.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com. McGuire Moving is silver certified, which means they are great at relocating senior citizens. In fact, McGuire is a household name because McGuire understands the stress involved when moving older adults. So if you or family members need help moving, I highly recommend McGuire Moving. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. Get a free in-home estimate. McGuireMoving.com. When I have business clients or guests from out of town, I often take them to Cafe Napoli. I know they're going to enjoy any of the Napoli locations. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, next to Napoli C, Napoli Kirkwood, or Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Excellent food and intellectual conversation, if they bring the intellectual conversation. NapoliSTL.com. NapoliSTL.com. You should know that when I endorse Wellington Environmental, it's because I believe and know they will do you right. Wellington takes pride in providing homeowners and businesses whatever they need. You need some dustless blasting? They will take care of that. You need some mold radiation? They can do that. They take pride in training their team to perform multiple services and having the equipment ready to get jobs finished. That's important to you. You make just one call, and you call a company that's been around for more than 35 years with more than 45 technicians in the field. Most of you know finding good workers, then having them show up on time could be difficult. Not for Wellington Environmental. They're there at the designated time, ready to go. Check them out to see what they could do for you. Dustless blasting or anything else you need. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington.
This is News Talk STL.
Got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The one that sells drugs, good or bad? Just very quickly, good or bad? Bad. How about the murderer? How about the one who commits adultery, zina? What about the one who rapes a child? What about the one who drinks alcohol? What about the one who does the biggest of the kabir, good or bad? This person, one person that commits all of these sins, he commits all of these sins on a daily basis, but he prays, is better in the eyes of Allah than the one that doesn't commit any of these sins but doesn't pray. So you and your brother, yeah, I'm a good guy. Habibi, go pack that up because it's not going to work on the day of judgment. Any person that misses one salah, you miss one salah for no reason, you're worse than a murderer, you're worse than a rapist, you're worse than a terrorist, you're worse than a pedophile in the eyes of Allah.
That is an Islamic scholar stating basically, if you're not praying as you should to Allah on a regular basis, you are worse than a rapist, a pedophile, a killer, a terrorist of any type. And yet, many inside the Islamic jihadist movement or every one of those things. And they may well be praying to Allah on a constant basis as dictated by their religion. And we're talking about Islamists, not talking about all Muslims. We're talking about those of the hardcore jihadists. They have no problem with raping babies when they went across the line into Jerusalem. Israel, I should say. Nor throwing them into microwaves, nor raping women and killing elderly men. They had no problem with that because they were good by Allah, according to this Islamic scholar. As long as you're praying to Allah as you should, you can do all these things and you're better off than someone who does not take time to pray to Allah. I'm sorry, that's twisted. Beyond twisted. And yet we have the leftists remaking themselves almost daily now and trying to see how much farther left can they go and how many will follow them. And they are getting a lot of youth involvement, but generally it's those uninformed. But it also includes those inside Ivy League institutions that are thinking, yeah, we need more socialism. We should share the wealth. Everybody's about sharing the wealth as long as it's coming from someone else's pocket. Very few who have wealth simply hold it for themselves and their family. They often make donations to various groups, and they create jobs. And they lead to more inventions and things better for the nation, the world as a whole. They're not sitting on it. It's being spent somewhere, being used to some extent. But again, they want capitalism, the Western world, to be an evil thing. I have a commentary that's been running to, I had a commentary that's running today talking about why are there so many haters in this country? And talking about a recent survey that pointed out the political divide, and it is a political divide because of Trump primarily. 25% of Democrats surveyed considered our country was one of the worst. 4% of those Democrats said our country is the worst in the world. And yet they still live here. And we know why, don't we? Because they try to spout off that kind of nonsense in North Korea or communist China or Russia, even in Cuba. See how fast they remain above ground. And of course, in New York, you got Mondami pushing all of his socialist ideas and so forth. And yet I'm looking at a piece in Politico. Politico stands to the left, obviously. But they point out that Mondami and the city council have reached a $126 billion budget, $126 billion for New York City. But it dilutes on his promises to provide rental aid, which is one of the things he was running on. Free buses, going to lower your rents, do this, free grocery stores. There's no grocery store open since he came in. There will not be even by the end of this year. And now this budget they passed is going to dilute any of the promises they made that they would provide rental aid. $126 billion, and he campaigned that we will help the poor, we'll make sure that you get some of this. Well, they're not going to based on this. They formalized this budget the other day with a handshake between Mondami and the council speaker, just 15 hours before the budget was legally due. An unusually late deal, as is pointed out by Politico. And Mondami said, above all else, this budget offers a roadmap for the years to come. In other words, you're not going to get any rent relief through my administration. He's gotten pushback, even from allies, including progressive members of the New York City Council, for pointing to the posture and defending why he can't, at least for now, make good on some of the big-ticket promises. Everything he's promised, nothing, nothing. New York GOP candidate Blakeman says what he would do on his first day.
So on day one, as governor, I will sign an executive order that we are no longer a sanctuary state. That's number one. Number two, I will roll out the biggest middle class tax cut in the history of New York. We are not going to tax people who make $50,000 or less. If they're single filers, if they're joint filers, if they're couples, we will make that $100,000. They won't have to pay taxes on their first $100,000. And we're going to create jobs, economic prosperity, and I will cut utility rates in half. I will end the green energy scam that has been perpetrated on people in this state by Kathy Hochul. She takes money out of their payments every month to invest in science projects that cost billions of dollars. She gets millions of dollars in campaign contributions from these foreign companies that are engaged in the green energy scam. That ends on day one when I become governor.
Well, it's again, it's a proposal by a guy who's running and trying to get votes. We told you yesterday that the state of California, starting tomorrow, their gas tax, a state gas tax, is going up another 2 cents a gallon, making it about 68 cents for each gallon going to the state. The state of New York currently has a gas tax of just under 40 cents a gallon. Now, would he be cutting that? That'd be a great idea. Even for Republicans, all these things you're saying sound good, but you got to deliver. And know at the end, you'll have a rainbow waiting for you. And I'm not talking about pride, but I mean, there'll be a pot of gold, and you'll have history written in your favor. And you might even get something like what Nancy Pelosi is getting at UC Berkeley.
Today is a very exciting day for me because today is the day Berkeley will be announcing the Nancy Pelosi Institute for Representative Democracy. My excitement about this springs from the fact that this will be totally nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. That's its value.
It is the right time and the right place to think about this Nancy Pelosi Institute for Representative Democracy, and Berkeley's public. And representative democracy is about the public, the people, all the people. Berkeley is a quintessential American university. When we think about its entrepreneurial spirit, this is a university that produces more startups than any other university. The freedom to teach, the freedom of expression. This public university is very representative of that. We're going to research democracy. Obviously, research is an important part of this institute, but we need to do more than that. We're literally going to strengthen it, and that's the goal. Nancy will be teaching here, so it is a new manifestation, and the institute will benefit from it.
Yeah.
When people ask me what gives you hope, my hope is with young people. The future belongs to them. It is what this is about. This is why I want to be here at Berkeley. One country, one destiny. That was what was embroidered in Abraham Lincoln's jacket. So we have a big responsibility to honor the vision of our founders. Democratic, just for the people.
I love it. I love how Nancy Pelosi wrapped in Abraham Lincoln. And Pelosi talking about at UC Berkeley, we're going to bring all the Democrat values to face again. UC Berkeley used to be the campus of free speech, but remember then they started condemning speakers that would not conform to what they wanted, wouldn't let them speak at all. Charlie Kirk chased off the campus, as well as others. And when you listen to Nancy Pelosi talking about everything this nation stands for, that's what we're going to promote. I want you to remember something. President Trump, in his first State of the Union address, and sitting behind him is Nancy Pelosi, a Speaker of the House. And after he ends, in the midst of the applause, knowing she's on camera, ripping his speech apart and throwing it to the side. So much for belief in democracy. You can't even sit there and listen to the new president of this nation. You can disagree with him, but you felt compelled to show your disgust, your disdain, the fact that you were so sold out to anything that would damage our country. And now she wants you to believe this Nancy Pelosi, UC Berkeley Institute, will strengthen democracy. Yeah, right. You know, we're coming up, obviously, we are in the midst, and it happens not this coming weekend, but the weekend. Oh, yeah, it is this weekend. I had to stop and count my dates again. July 4th, this week, the 250th birthday party for our nation. And yet we've got haters in our nation doing everything they can to destroy what should be a national celebration for everyone. Regardless of your color, your religion, your gender, a national celebration of this country, this republic thriving for 250 years, and yet you got the haters. Deputy White House spokeswoman Jackson.
It is absolutely sick that these Trump deranged whack jobs are vandalizing our beautiful National Mall, our beautiful national monuments, all because they hate President Trump. I mean, really, there is nothing more to say other than it is sick. And President Trump has made his message known loud and clear that if you break the law, if you vandalize our monuments, you will be held accountable. And I just think it is really sad to see that there is this division amongst the left on our country at a time when we should all be coming together to celebrate America's 250th birthday, something this administration is doing, making D.C. safe and beautiful for everyone, regardless of their political affiliation. There are sadly folks on the left who can't have that same unified spirit that President Trump is projecting ahead of our 250th birthday.
I will point out, and again, that's Abigail Jackson, the Deputy White House Press Secretary, I will point out that, again, the division, the fractures inside the Democrat Party currently with these pro-Hamas Democrat socialists, it's going to be seismic. It already is. The cracks are going everywhere in every direction. Give you a perfect example. In Maine, as you know, they're pushing Graham Plattner to win the U.S. Senate to make sure he gets that Maine seat. Well, the communications director for the Maine, state of Maine, AFL-CIO, statewide federation of 160 local unions, posted on social media, any Democrats who will not refuse to support Plattner should face execution after a revolution. This is how they talk to each other. Do you expect them to be any better or kinder to anyone who has an opposing view outside their party? And keep in mind, many inside the party, the so-called solid left. I mean, we are at a point now where Bernie Sanders is no longer liberal. He's not. Nor Pocahontas. And you got Cory Booker and Hakeem Jeffries thinking, how do we survive what we're giving birth to? That they don't turn on us. Bill Maher was talking to Vice President J.D. Vance on his program the other night. He said, I don't know why I can't get these Democrats to come on here. If I call you, you come on, but I cannot get Mondami to come on. I can't get some of the other Democrats to come on, but at least you're willing to come on. He said, I'm considering voting Republican in 2028. He said, every year I don't make my decision who has an R or a D. I actually always came to the conclusion the Democrat was better and voted for them. But this time around, looking at what we're doing with the Democrat Party, I'm thinking I might well vote Republican. I love it when the rats flee the ship and they turn on each other. As always, thank you for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Make sure you're listening 6 to 8. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.